The word for our staff this year has been details. Focus on the details. And what that means is that we really have to take an account of what we do, why we do it, how we do it, even how we minister to people. You know, there's some people that are so, so hard. Yeah, you got to get saved. You got to know Jesus. Wait a minute. Who is Jesus anyway? We got to be careful. We need to take an account. So details is what I've asked our staff to focus on. Details. How do we greet you when you walk in the church? What is the atmosphere like? How do we say hello? How do we operate? Pay attention to details. But also, listen, in our lives as we walk with Christ, pay attention to details, because details can be changed. They can be modified, right? You ever go to a restaurant and the table's dirty and you look at your spoon and there's like a dried something on it, right? You ever go to those restaurants? They're called diners, really. You ever go to those restaurants? But you ever go to a nice restaurant and the napkin is folded, everything's in place? There's a big difference, right? You would rather go to the nicer place. They're paying attention to details because they're concerned about your business. They want you to come back. And as we focus, listen, on our details of our walk, people will notice that. He's not so harsh as he once was. He's not so loud. You've been around our loud people. They're funny like for the first 5 minutes, and then after like shut up. You're so loud. Don't you hear yourself? You ever be around people like details? Details in our walk. Sometimes we have compromised our walk with the Lord. Yeah, you know what? It's not a big deal. God will forgive me, right? You ever say that to yourself before? I have. God will forgive me. And yet if I focus on those details, it's kind of like as one who makes knives or works with iron, and they make this beautiful iron blade, and they just put the handle on it and say, you know what, we'll just sell it as it is. Wait a minute. You missed an important detail. That knife, that metal needs to be forged in fire. It needs to become strong. And that little detail determines how effective, listen, that knife is, how sharp it'll stay, and how durable it'll be. Details in our walk with Christ, listen, may or may not determine how far and how much God can use us. Can we limit God's use in our life? Oh, absolutely. He gives us a choice. And here's a detail I want you to focus on this morning. Surrender. Surrender, listen. Surrender has to be done every day. Every day. Sometimes every hour, right? Depending on the circles you're in. Every day, every hour. If you're in a workplace where it's very cold and harsh, man, you got to be praying all the time. I was in that workforce just like that for my whole career. And when I got saved, I was like, wow, I don't want to be here anymore. But God, you haven't called me out yet, so I need to function while I'm in this environment. But I don't have to be like that. I can be different. I can stand out. And how does that happen? Details. Am I walking in the Spirit? Am I praying in the Spirit? Am I dependent upon the Lord? These are the details I'm talking about. Each day, hey, Lord, thank you for a good night. Thank you I was able to sleep in a bed, let alone sleep in a house, right? Thank you for the bed. Thank you for these sheets. Thank you for the fan or whatever. You're thankful for the Lord. We take all that for granted. I was praying in the office with our team before we came down here. And I said, we're gathering together in front of God's people, just like Moses, Elijah, Joshua, Peter, James, and Paul. God called them to speak to his people. You are God's people. This is a privilege. This isn't a right. God is allowing us to speak truth to God's people. You are God's people. And so I need to be paying attention to details. Am I in the Word of God? Have I studied? Am I prayed up? Is my heart surrendered to God? Or am I trying to sell a book? You ever see that? One of the largest churches, pastors in America was on television. He was on the Dr. Phil show, and he was selling his book. Has the largest church in the country. You may know who he is. I won't mention his name. Never mentioned Jesus Christ, salvation, anything but to sell his book. Now, Franklin Graham would never have done that. Billy Graham would have never have done that. He would have mentioned salvation because that's our job, right? Is to witness, not to sell a product, not to lift up my kingdom or build my kingdom, but to build the kingdom of God, right? And so we do that in details. Now, we start this morning in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. I believe we're going to get through verse 8. Now we're going to get through chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Simon Peter, one of Jesus' own disciples, he writes 1 and 2 Peter to encourage those believers who had fallen prey, listen, to persecution of the Roman Empire. He sent his letter to all the provinces of Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. So when we mention Asia Minor, it's modern-day Turkey. That's the area that the churches have been established in. And as one of who also suffered persecution for taking a stand himself, he could speak with credibility and conviction. I wasn't raised as a pastor. I wasn't born as a pastor. You know, I grew up in the Catholic Church, and I used to think that the priests were born priests. And, you know, like, they came out with robes and everything when they were born. And they had no life experience. Well, I have a tremendous amount of life experience. 29 years in law enforcement, seeing the good, bad, and the ugly. The character of man. I've seen horrific things happen. I've seen wonderful things happen. And I come and speak with you as one who's been married 28 years, lived in the same house for 29 years, at the same job for 29 years, yeah. Pastor of the same church for 10 years. There's stability in that. There's credibility in that. I'm just using myself as an example. I'm not lifting myself up. But hear my heart. There's credibility that I've experienced. I was, in my BC days, one of those heathens that did whatever the flesh said to do. I was one of those. I spoke that pagan language. There was a pagan language. I spoke it. But I've also experienced a transformation by the power of God. And that's why I can sit here today and tell you that it is true. Not that it's written in a book, that it's some type of program, but the transformation that happens by the Holy Spirit when we surrender our life to God is unbelievable. It's unbelievable in the natural man, right? Ah, there's no way, right? There's no way God can change me. There's no way God can use me. That's the natural man thinking, but in the supernatural, all things are possible. Through Christ, all things are possible, right? So there's a word called impossible, right? I am possible, impossible. The very word doesn't mean what it says because I am possible. Nothing is impossible for us. So there is no impossibilities for the believer. And so now I stand before you telling you that I've experienced the transformation of God in my life, past that He takes us on, things, listen, that we don't understand. There's so much that I don't understand. But I don't worry about the things that I don't understand. I grasp hold of the things that God has revealed. The truths that I have experienced. That you have experienced. And so Peter, like myself and one of you, comes to the table with credibility, with experience. He has experienced the suffering and the persecution that has come upon the people of God. So he's not somewhere protected from this persecution saying, hey, praise the Lord, you'll get over this, right? He's been in the mix. He's been in prison. He's been beaten. He's had these life experiences. He says, I've been with you. In Acts chapter 5, he describes how he suffered for his faith. In Acts chapter 12, we've gone through the book of Acts on Wednesday night. In chapter 12, he reports his imprisonment. And eventually the Romans crucified Peter upside down for his faith. How many of you want to sign up for that program? Tradition says that he told his executioners that he felt unworthy to die in the same manner as the Lord, so they hung him upside down. Peter fills these letters with lessons, listen, and principles for leaders. Jesus had groomed him as a leader, one who would influence others. Now, when we say leader, you may put somebody in a position of a corporation or a pastor, but a leader is one who influences. So if anybody is listening to you or watching you, you're leading them because you're influencing them. And so he's preparing Peter's heart with these experiences. If you remember the stories of Peter, you'll know he began his journey as a crude, brash, unspoken man, but he was influential to those around him. But by the time Jesus sent the Holy Spirit upon the church in Acts chapter 2, Peter had become wise. He had wisdom, convictional, and even more influential than before. How did that happen? God had his hand on his life. God is with him. Now, Peter wrote the letter around 63-64 AD, and obviously, that may sound, in 1947, a school of thought developed that declared it would be impossible for this fisherman to have this kind of wisdom. We just mentioned impossible, but all things are possible. Those who had heard him said, how could this man be such an eloquent speaker? How could he know such truth? He's a fisherman. You ever feel that way? You're speaking to people who have, in your life, you feel are so much more important than you, and yet you have the Holy Spirit in you. He's given you wisdom. He's given you understanding, and you begin to speak truth in their lives, and they're just marveled. Now, they may not show you that up front. They may ridicule you up front. But when you walk away, they're thinking about it. And then what does that mean? That means you've planted a seed. They're germinating that seed that happens. God will bring somebody alongside and water it. So don't be discouraged. But they may look down upon you. How could this person know this? That doesn't make sense. But behind the scenes, they're wondering. In 1947 was not the first year in Peter's credentials were called to question. In fact, Luke records that after hearing Peter speak, he wondered how he was possible to speak with clarity and authority in Acts chapter 4. There's an old rabbinical saying that says that you may be covered in the dust of your rabbi. How many of you have heard that before? May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. What that means is that you're walking so close behind your rabbi that as he's walking, his sandals are throwing up that dust because you've walked so close with him. Now, the theme is not the dust. The point is that you're walking so close to him that you would be covered in the dust of your rabbi. Peter had been walking with Jesus Christ. He's been covered in the dust of his rabbi, rabbi meaning teacher. And now the characteristics by the power of the Holy Spirit begin to emanate in Peter's life. Peter becomes a calm, gentle person. He's not the same man who pulls out the sword and cuts off the centurion's ear when they come to arrest Jesus. He's not the one who stands up, "May it not be, Christ, that you will die for me. You're not washing my feet, Jesus." But now, there's been a transformation that has happened. And Peter teaches us how to walk with God, to depend upon God, and focus on the details of our walk. So as I walk close with the Lord, not physically, because Jesus physically is not here, but spiritually, as I walk with him in prayer and supplications, as I study the scripture, I begin to take upon the characteristics of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. What happens? I surrender to him. And I begin to have peace. Why? He's poured peace into me. He's given me forgiveness. Now I can forgive. Now I have that peace that transcends all understanding. He begins to guide my heart, how I feel, and my mind, how I think, through Christ Jesus. I begin to walk as Jesus did, and I begin to love on people. Isn't that amazing? Now, some people are hard to love. Wouldn't you agree? Not you guys, but other people. They're not in this church today, but there's some really hard people to love. Matter of fact, there's people on Facebook that are hard to love. You don't even know them, but you're like, what? Don't say that. There's people commenting on things that I have posted, and when other people are commenting, they're commenting to them. Shut up. Some people are difficult, right? But I was one of those difficult people with God. I resisted everyone who came around me because I had this pride and ego. Mom, I went to Mass. Leave me alone. I'm okay with God. And yet I was lost as anyone else. And Peter is telling us, as we walk close with the Lord, we will begin to speak and talk and act like Christ. But we need to be aware of details. Who am I focusing? Who am I surrounding with? Just the other night, my son said, I'm going to go hang out with the hockey team. I'm like, no. These guys are tough. They're worldly. Every other word is blankety blank. And what other... Said, probably not a good idea because, you know, after a little while, you know, you're going to start thinking those thoughts and talking that language just in a little while because you're going to be influenced by them. Amen, right. I was there. I can agree. I know. And God says, don't be unevenly yoked. You know what a yoke is? A yoke is that big, long... Some of us know, some of us don't. A yoke is this big, long board that's put on the back of an oxen. So two oxen would plow a piece of machinery behind it. So it says don't be unevenly yoked. So if the oxens are not the same size, the same strength, the stronger one will pull the other one away or off course. Or the weaker one won't carry any of the load because the stronger one. So he's saying don't be unevenly yoked. They're going to pull you away. We spoke at the pastor's conference on Monday about drifting away from your faith. It's not going to happen to me. Oh, it will. Pay attention to details, focus. Because if you shot a rocket off to the moon and you were just a centimeter off to the moon, right? It would be millions of miles away from that moon by the time it got there, and it would just start to drift. And the thing about drifting is we don't know we're drifting until we know we're drifting. And then we're like, oh no, what happened? What's great about God is he doesn't sit back. See, I told you you're going to do that. No, come quick, come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you that rest. Don't worry about it. I will never let you go, never forsake you. And so this is Peter's heart now. And Peter begins to share some of these lessons with us. And so he's spent time, as we have spent time, with Jesus, time in the Word and in prayer, and it's my prayer this morning that will take on the characteristics of Jesus Christ, just as this fisherman now turns into an apostle of Jesus Christ. Let's consider some of the lessons that are learned walking along the way with Jesus. Number one, find your security in the Lord. Some of us are secure in our jobs. Some of us are secure in our relationships. Some of us are secure with money we have in the bank. Some of us are secure with our families and all the things around us. Now, we're talking about eternal security and trust is what we're talking about. The word trust, listen to me, don't miss this. The word trust, T-R-U-S-T, begins with a cross and it ends with a cross. Put your security in Christ. Find your security in the Lord. Now, Peter doesn't embrace this lesson at first. He consistently projected his own self-worth and he drew his value from the attention that he got from those around him. After the crucifixion, the people turned against him, but Jesus still received him. Peter ran from Jesus, the one who would proclaim he would die, and yet in the flesh, not yet empowered by the Spirit. You've experienced that. If you believe in Christ and you're tempted, you pray, Lord, help me get out of this. He'll help you get out of it. Oh, I got through it. But 10 minutes later, you're tempted with the same temptation. You may fail. What happened? It's minute by minute. It's hour by hour. It's day by day, week by week. It's a constant dependency upon the Lord. And then what happens is we become stronger and the temptation becomes weaker and it comes to a point that it doesn't even bother us anymore. How many of you can witness to that? That's happened. You've strengthened the spirit, you've weakened the flesh because you haven't surrendered, and the fleshly temptations become so weak that they don't even bother you anymore. That's being victorious in the spirit, right? Peter's saying, find your security in the Lord. Number two, Disciplers, those who make disciples, must recognize that suffering and persecution come with the territory. Listen, if you're going to witness to somebody, they may tell you to go pound salt. Remember what I said? You planted a seed. The words came out of your mouth. They heard it. They initially may have been offended by that. They may persecute you. They may come against you. Not to get in great detail, but I've experienced that with work, working for unsaved people, and they're attacking you, and nobody around you can understand why, but they're challenging you. They're making life difficult for you. How does that happen? There's a spiritual battle going on. Things are happening, and only the believers would know that. Like, if everybody likes you, but this guy doesn't like you, what's wrong? There's a spiritual battle going on, and I've experienced that. But I've experienced the victory in Christ too. This one supervisor that I work with, for some unknown reason, but it was spiritual, as I mentioned, day in, day out, week in, week out, was harassing me, and I would challenge him. One day I closed the door, I said, I'm not leaving, what's the problem? Oh, no, there's no problem. He backed off, but behind my back, he's stabbing me in the back, talking about me. Now, I worked 9 to 5 at the time, so he did this 3 times in a row, and I'll tell you what I did after that. 3 times in a row at 5 minutes to 5, he calls me up. Now, I'm working on the north end of the county. I work Deerfield, Lighthouse Point, Coconut Creek, Pompano. He calls me at 5 minutes to 5, says, hey, we have an emergency in Plantation I need you to send you out to. So I'd have to go to my office, pick up this emergency order, go out to Plantation, and there was nobody there. The people weren't home. This happened 3 weeks in a row. So the 4th week, I never left the office. At 5 o'clock, I'm standing right outside his door. Where are you going to send me today? And he didn't send me anywhere. He knew I knew what was going on. And so I begin to challenge him back and forth, but here's what the Holy Spirit spoke to me on. I heard Tony Evans give this sermon on surrender as unto the Lord. Surrender to those who are in authority, because no one is in authority except appointed by God. And that's hard for us to comprehend when we see some people in authority. But he says, surrender as unto the Lord. So God, you put him in charge. I'm going to surrender. Now, it took me about another week to come to terms with that. But here's what I did. I didn't challenge him. I didn't say anything. If he said to do something, I did it. I didn't question it. And 2 weeks later, he got transferred out. Now, what a lesson is that? Because I was praying, hey, I'm getting out of this unit. I'm going somewhere else. I can't take this anymore. You know, who does he think he is and all this? But when I surrendered to God and the principles that he gave, surrender as unto the Lord. All right, Lord, I'm focusing on you. No matter what he does, this is the relationship, and it affects here. God took him out of the picture. I had nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing. Pay attention to details. How are we walking with the Lord? Know this. As disciplers, persecution will come. Things will happen around us. Don't be moved by that. And that was a lesson I've learned, and that's a lesson I'm sharing with you. Don't be moved by what's happening. Don't fight it. Let God be your avenger. Let God fight that battle for you. Number 3, the highest call is to use your gifts and talents to serve others. In chapter 4, he'll tell us to identify our spiritual gifts and use them in serving others. Whatever those gifts may be, listen, you may be up in age and not very physically active, and your sphere of influence may have shrunk, but you can pray. I shared with the body, I don't know if it was Wednesday or last Sunday, but we had a youth pastor, Tom Mallow, who used to be in our church, and we were having an outside event, and there was a hurricane coming, and I'm packing up, you know, set my house up, because I was still working. When a hurricane comes, I got to go to work, so I'm putting things on my window, and Paul's still talking about this party we're having outside. I'm like, Tom, did you see the news? There's a hurricane coming. Yeah, but I'm praying. I'm not kidding you. He's praying the hurricane took a U-turn. That's the truth. It happened. The hurricane diverted from Broward County. We got nothing. Now we say, oh, well, that's just happened. No, Tom prayed. So if you need prayer, call Tom. I won't give his number out now. But we say, oh, how silly. No, God is real. God is faithful. These are not just fairy tales we're reading in Scripture. These are things that actually happened. And if we were writing the books during that time, we would be writing these things down too. Look what God has done in our lives. Look at the transformation that has happened. Look at the lessons that were learned. So as I walked with Christ in that situation at work, He spoke to my heart. I paid attention to the details that He gave me. The details were to surrender as unto the Lord. Forget about your own agenda, Ken. I know what's going on. Am I deaf? Are my arms too short? I see what's happening. You're the problem because you're not doing what I said to do. Oh, here we go. I wasn't paying attention to the details in what I was asked to do. But when I did, God's hand moved, and His hand moved mightily. Now there's a man called Abram who God had called and said, go unto this land, leave your family and everything you have and go into this land and I will use you in a mighty way. Now he partially obeyed God. He went to this land, but he took everybody with him, right? Not to get in great detail. He finds himself having problems with his nephew Lot, who's a picture of the world. And when he came to terms and said, I wasn't supposed to bring these people with me, he says to Lot, you see this land? Whichever direction you see, go and it's yours and I'll go on the other way. And when he did that, paid attention to the details of the instructions, God then opened up the door of opportunity to use him and showed him that he would be the father of many nations. We may miss the calling in our lives sometimes because we're so preoccupied about what we see and what we think and what we want to do instead of going before the Lord. How do I do this? What do I do? Lord, help me. I don't understand. What is the message for your people? How do I transform my life? Pay attention to details. Now, how many of you have put something together using a manual? You buy something and you got to put it together. You got to look at the manual. Well, most of the men in here, like me, don't look at the manual. Oh, I can take care of this. Right? And then when you're done, you got like six extra screws. Whoa. What was I supposed to do with these? You know, I'll just throw them out. And then you realize, uh-oh, something's wrong. And then when we go back and look at the manual, we might have done it just the opposite way. But if we follow the manual, it'll turn out right. Why? The creator of that product wrote that manual and said, this is how it's to be put together so that you could use it for this intended purpose. Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. It is our life manual. And we need to pay attention when God says something. Now, Tony Evans gives a story of when he was a young boy, they lived in the South in Georgia. And if, you know, you ever see these kids, the parents will tell them something to do and they just keep running the other way. Oh, he's so misbehaving, but they don't teach him any lessons. Tony Evans says, I was standing at the back door and my mother said, Tony, stop. And he said, I would dare move when my mother said stop. And at the bottom of that step was a little rattlesnake. Had he not paid attention, something evil could have happened. Listen, there's people dying spiritually all around us. And the Holy Spirit may be telling us, you know what, you probably don't want to act that way in front of this person because they're searching, they're seeking. And in our foolish minds, we're saying, oh man, that guy's way out there. Yeah, and I sent you to minister to him. I sent you to be a witness. Yeah, but Lord, every time I say something, he laughs at me. Yes, he's laughing you out on the outside, but in the inside, he's crying. Lord, help me, send me somebody who won't reject me. I've been rejected my whole life. Lord, send me somebody who cares enough for me. And God's sending you. Are you paying attention to the details? Because he speaks in a soft, small voice. Did you hear that? Listen, stop. Pay attention. He speaks in a soft voice. And sometimes if our lives are so drowned out by the things around us, we will not hear his soft voice. Pay attention. Now, I do this, and you may have heard other pastors do this, and I find myself doing it in conversations, and I said, as I'm talking, listen, as I'm talking, just like I just did, listen, because I want you to hear the details of what I'm saying. Because you ever talk to somebody, and there are three thoughts ahead of you, right? You're talking about one thing, but they're thinking way over here. No, wait, listen, pay attention. There's something here I want you to capture. And we're so busy in our lives, we miss sometimes the details of God saying specific things. Now, when I say this, we think right away things we're supposed to do. I need to do, I need to do, and I need to do, and I need to do. He says to rest. Be anxious about nothing. Did you hear that? Why did he tell the apostle to tell us to be anxious about nothing? Because we're anxious about everything. He knows that. He knows we're anxious. It is a natural response in the natural man. But in the supernatural, he says, be anxious about nothing. What do I do, Lord? In all things, pray. Let your requests, your prayers be known to God. But listen, there's more detail. Because the result of that is the peace of Christ, which transcends all understanding, would then guide our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. There's details in the word. Words have meaning. Do we pay attention to the meaning of God's words? The fourth consideration in the lesson that Peter has walking with Christ that we can experience in walking in Christ, finally, number four, is to strive for holiness and humility. Now, my family is from New York. I grew up down here, but being around the family, everybody's quick, loud, and fast, and we're half Italian, so we've got to talk with our hands. You tie our hands, we wouldn't have nothing to say. And you ever be around people who are very humble and quiet? Like, Lord, I wish I could be like that. There's a lot of you that are that way right here in the church. And sometimes we got to pay attention to details, right? Wait, calm down, relax. Give somebody else an opportunity to speak. Listen first. Somebody's trying. We're so quick in giving opinions and thought, the Bible says this, you should do it. Yeah, I know the Bible says it, but listen to my heart. I'm struggling with this. Help me in prayer. I don't need you to tell me what the Bible says. I know what the Bible says. And as we humble ourselves, strive for that. We have to strive for that because that's not the natural man. Strive for holiness. What does holiness mean? Doesn't mean the Pope with a big hat is holy. Holiness means separated for God. Set aside. Your life is holy. You've gone from the pit of hell. God has washed you clean, set you on a solid foundation. He's clothed you in righteousness, and now your home is in heaven. You have been set apart. You have been sealed. And there's a guarantee of your deliverance. So we're waiting for the delivery to heaven. Yet, but while we're here, there's a message we're to give. Pay attention to the details. The wages of sin is death. We don't talk about sin that much, right? The wages of sin is death. We all were born with this death sentence of sin. But God didn't leave us in that fallen state. He says, I'm going to send my son to die for you, that who believe in me would have eternal life. That's the good news of the gospel. The details are that he died for me and for you. And if we believe that, we'd have eternal life. But not only that, Ephesians tells us, but yet there's more. You have all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places now that you can grasp onto, that Christ has, that you have given to you in Christ Jesus. So this is why he says, abide in me as I abide in you. And in that abiding, we have the blessings from the heavenly places. I have then now the power to overcome the physical, the flesh. I have the power of discernment. I can know what's right and wrong. And here's what else I have. I have the power and the ability to love. Some of us don't know what that means. Some of us never really experienced love. Some of us don't know what a friend means. Some of us have no idea how to be a friend because we've never had a friend. When we think of Father's Day or Mother's Day, we cringe because our experience wasn't good with either party. And so here in this fallen earth, we've experienced a lot of bad examples of what God says are good. And then man rejects it all because this is what we experienced. And yet, he says, come and see, taste and eat that the Lord is good. When I receive his Spirit in my life, I experience forgiveness. He's taken this world of sin off my shoulders. And when you know that you know you're forgiven, it changes your life. He's poured this love of Christ, this compassion, this desire to love you and that you would become closer to the Lord and to witness to you that you would have eternal life. And so Peter's telling us as we begin to close here that strive for that holiness, that separation from the world. Strive for humility. Peter addresses both the holy life in chapter 1 through chapter 2, and the humble lifestyle in chapters 3 through 5. These are a high point, but they're an elusive aim for those with egos. Listen, I can't come into God's economy with my own agenda. Now, we never got to chapter 1. That's our introduction to the book of 1 Peter, but that's okay. John Maxwell wrote a book called, listen, there's details in this, because everybody's moving, we're going to go, but hang on, your Bible's not leaving. The name of the book was Sometimes You Win and Sometimes You
Lose.
Sometimes You Win and Sometimes You Lose. That's not the name of the book. You know what the name of the book is? Sometimes You Win and Sometimes You Learn. We never lose. We are winners in Christ Jesus. If we find ourselves in a bad situation and something has failed, we learn from that, but we never lose. Hold fast to the truths of the gospel. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen?